Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again that you have gathered us to this place, and we know that you are present with us, and so we ask that even if just for a moment you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week and the week ahead so that we would hear the things that you would have for us. And we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to those things. May your spirit be our filter so that everything else we could set off to the side. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours, and that your word for us this morning would be fresh and new, we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you here on the second Sunday of Gateway Community Church. We are a new thing, and we're working on what that means and what it looks like, and we're excited, and the ways in which that's going to take shape in our community, and the ways in which it's going to take shape within us as a body of individuals coming together and striving to live life together. And we're laying out our vision of here at Gateway, and it's summed up in three words: living, learning, and loving. And the hope is that we're going to be a church that's living life together, learning to be like Christ, to be loving like Christ. And last week we spent some time, what does it look like to be living life together? What does that look like? And we highlighted a couple of different things about the importance and the emphasis on relationships. So if you take those three words, living, learning, and loving, part of our thought process as we kind of spent some time with this and laying this out is we believe that relationships are key. And so relationships with each other, relationships with God, and relationship with our community. And so living for us was the relationship that we have with each other. How do we live life together even despite the messiness of life? And we talked about last week how life is messy. It just is. And many of us have been through messes. Some of us are sitting in a mess right now. As you sit here this morning, you're thinking about life going, yeah, it's really messy. My life is a mess. It's messy. Sometimes it's messes of our own creation. Things we say, things we do, choices we make. Other times we find ourselves in the midst of a mess that someone else made for us. Either way, we know and recognize that life is messy. And so living life together as a church is how do we live life together, walk alongside each other in the midst of the mess, and how and where do we find Jesus in the mess? So we talked about that last week. We talked about that you are not doing life alone. You were not designed or created to live life alone. And what does that look like for us to live life together? How do we challenge each other? How do we encourage each other? How do we support each other as we're walking this road of life together? And so we spent some time talking about that and the relationship of living life together. We talked about, this morning, we're going to focus on our relationship with God. So the learning part. So living is the relationship we have with each other. The learning is our relationship with God. And then our next time we'll be talking about the loving, or I would translate that as serving, and that is our relationship with the community. How do we love the other? How do we love outside of these walls? How do we love our community? How do we serve? What does that look like? So that'll be for our next time. But this morning, we're going to kind of focus on this idea of learning to be like Christ. Now, it's easy for us, I think, sometimes when we think about not just the living part, but the learning part, we kind of break ourselves into two categories, the sinners and the saints. And it's easy for us to oftentimes kind of put ourselves as the sinner and everyone else sometimes as the saint. We look around the room and we go, man, they are so spiritual. Look at them. They're spiritual. They pray. Oh, wow, they do this, they do that, they serve, they mount. We sing a song, right? Amazing Grace, Sweetest Sound, that saved a wretch, right? I like the word, not because I want to be a wretch, but it's good to be reminded that that's really what I am. And then I think about the way in which grace is really so amazing. So it's easy for us to kind of look at ourselves, right? We know our own mess. We know our own wretchedness and kind of go, yeah, I'm a pretty terrible person. I'm in the sinner group. And then it's easy sometimes to kind of project or think that everybody else is in the saint. Saints with quotes, because even Paul in Romans, when he tells us that there is no one righteous. And so living life together is kind of the reminder that we're all sinners here invited to come and try to figure this stuff out together. Now, that moves into the learning part, because that means that we all have there's a role for us to play in each other's faith development and faith journey. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you, if you would, to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. And you'll kind of run into Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy there. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses, in particular, verses 1 through 9. So we're taking notes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And this is a foundational passage for our Jewish brothers and sisters. So if you read through the Old Testament, and if you can kind of get the overall picture of the Bible, the Old Testament gives us some background on kind of where Christianity sort of began, where it came from. And then there were some things that happened along the way, and Jesus shows up, and that's where it started to take a little bit of a different path than Judaism. Okay, so in the Old Testament, we would read and share the scriptures of the Old Testament with our Jewish brothers and sisters, and they would, and so we share this story, okay? So these are stories that we share that are a part of our story as well. So we read about the story of the Exodus. That's a story that, as Christians, we share that story too, because that's a part of who we are, and that theme is carried throughout Scripture so often. So this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 was foundational for the Jewish families. I mean, even today it is. And you'll see where it becomes really pretty crucial. And I think it becomes crucial for us as well. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm reading from the NIV this morning, looking at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Now this is where it becomes, verse 4, where it becomes really foundational, okay? This phrase in particular, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, you may have read that or heard that before in the New Testament. There was a guy who said that same thing. His name was Jesus. So Jesus even references this foundational passage, this teaching, as he's teaching us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about them all the time. Be thinking about them all the time. Teach your kids about them all the time. Verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You may have seen maybe pictures of devout Jewish men who will have the straps of leather wrapped up their arm with the little leather box that they'll have, and then they'll also have leather straps with a box that they'll have wrapped around their head and a box there on their foreheads. This is, and inside of that, inside of those little boxes are little parchment rolls of paper with this prayer. bind them on your wrists and on your arms and around your foreheads. And the thought is that as it's wrapped around your hands and you're holding scripture and the prayers, that you wrap it on your left arm so it's close to your heart. And your two vital organs would be your heart and your brain. And press these teachings so that you're thinking about them, you're talking about them, you're living with them, you're wrestling with them, you're teaching your children all the time. When you lie down to go to sleep, when you lie down to go sleep at night, and when you wake up. And so I think it's important for us as we look at this passage and we think about, well, what does it learn then? What does it look like to be learning to be like Christ? So here at Gateway, what does it look like to be learning at Gateway? And I think there's a couple of things, ways in which I think learning to be like Christ looks like here at Gateway. Gabe, will you go to the next slide for me, and I'll grab my little clicker. So learning to be like Christ is participating in the journey of becoming more like Christ. Some of you have never started the journey to follow Jesus. No doubt that there are some of you sitting in this room this morning who have never made the commitment to try to follow Jesus. That you've never actually given up your everything, all that you are, all that you have, and have laid it at Jesus' feet to go, okay, here's all I got. It's a mess because life is messy, right? And I'm a mess. And so here's my mess. That's about the best I have to offer you, Jesus, is my mess. And I lay it at your feet, and I'm choosing to try to follow you. There are some of you this morning who have never actually done that. You've never actually taken the first step in this journey. And I celebrate that you're here this morning, and I celebrate what it looks like and what it means to learn to be like Christ together. Because part of what it looks like to learn to be like Christ is participating in the journey of becoming more like him. And for some of us, that means just taking the first initial step towards, okay, Jesus, let's do this. I don't even know what this is, but I'm here and I'm willing. I'm never ready, right? If you ever are waiting to think you're ready to follow Jesus, like you're like, you know what? My life is a mess. I'm going to kind of get my stuff in order. And then Jesus, let's do this. It will never happen. And what's really great about Jesus is that he's not asking you to do that. Jesus is not inviting you to follow him after you get your stuff figured out. Matt, it would be really great if you would follow me. You're a mess. So why don't you get that stuff figured out? Come back and visit me, and then we'll go. You never hear or see Jesus do that. Jesus is always saying, you're messy. Great. I'm going to meet you in the mess, bring it with you, and let's go. I don't want you to stay messy anymore. Right? There's the grace in the mess, but there's also the push to be holy, and we'll talk about that in a second. So I don't want you to stay messy, but you don't have to clean up to follow me. Some of you this morning, maybe the thought process is you're waiting until kind of you get some stuff figured out, and then it's like, okay, now I'm going to get serious about church. Now I'm going to get serious about faith. Now I'm going to get serious about following Jesus. And you may have been saying that for years now. You need to hear that Jesus is inviting you to follow him now, despite the mess, because you won't get it figured out. I've been following Jesus for a little bit, and there's a lot of stuff I don't have figured out. And it's because of the grace that we sang about earlier that I keep trying to stumble along with him. Learning to be like Christ is participating in the journey of becoming more like him. So it's starting. For some of you, it's starting. For others, you've been trying to follow Christ for some time. And I think what's really great about church, of what church could be, is that whether you're just starting or whether you've been trying to follow Jesus for years and years and years, we have so many things that we can learn and support and encourage and teach each other. So if you're rolling in here this morning and saying, Matt, you said to turn to Deuteronomy. I have no idea what that is. And I have no idea where that is. And you say, there's no way that I could teach anyone anything about what it means to follow Jesus. You're just wrong. And that to me is really exciting. That even if you're just starting the journey, you have things to teach me. I need you. I need you to teach me and help me learn what it means to follow Jesus. If you've been following him for some time and trying to do that, you've got experiences that you can share and help people. Learning to be like Christ is participating in the journey together. This is not a journey. Just like you're not designed or created to live life alone, faith is not a journey that you are designed or intended to walk alone. You cannot be a Christian in isolation. You cannot follow Jesus in isolation. You must have the others. You must have community. Learning to be like Christ is the pursuit of holiness through the practice of spiritual disciplines. I'm going to, if you're taking notes, Matthew chapter 11, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it for you here in a second. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is talking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Is that not a statement of hope? He goes on. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Learning to be like Christ is the pursuit of holiness through the practice of spiritual disciplines. Choosing to decide to follow Christ is, Jesus is not looking to put a bunch of burden or weight upon you. So if you've been trying to follow Jesus and you've been feeling like it's just been nothing but weight and a burden, then you're doing something wrong. Is it easy? No. Because you have to try to love other people. And people are messy and annoying and frustrating and right, all those things. But is it something that should weigh us down with a bunch of rules or legalism or no? And if that's been your experience of church or following Jesus, then my apologies to you. That is not the way that Christ intended it to be. That is not what pursuing holiness looks like. It does require discipline. We cannot learn what it means to be like Christ if we're not willing to take the time to spend with him. You can't learn what it means to be like him if you don't ever spend any time with him. And so when I say words like spiritual disciplines, I mean things like study. I mean like spending time and reading your Bible. I mean things like spending time in prayer and having conversation with God. I mean spending times in worship, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. Did you know that you are allowed to worship throughout the week? Right? Who would have thought? It's the discipline of service. It's thinking about how do I serve the other? How do I put the other before self? I think that the most likely place that we will see the face of Jesus is when we're serving another. But we cannot learn to be like him if we're not willing to take the time to spend with him. Through study, through prayer, through service, through worship. And those aren't easy. But they're certainly not meant to be a burden. There's a story in Luke chapter 10 that we read in Luke's gospel. Jesus was doing his thing, and he was invited over to Mary and Martha's house, these two friends of his. So he went over to their house, and they were pretty excited to have Jesus there, and so they wanted to like prepare, you know, this, make it like a party, like, you know, honor this guest. This was a big deal. Jesus was kind of a big deal. And so they wanted, you know, so Martha was starting to do all of this stuff around the house. She's cleaning the house. She's prepping all the food. She's doing all the stuff. And her sister Mary, who was the younger, is hanging out with Jesus. He's like, you know, I would imagine pretty much everything Jesus says is probably pretty cool. It's either hilarious or it's life-changing. You know, it's kind of in there. And so Mary's just kind of soaking up whatever Jesus has to say. And Martha gets ticked. And so she's finally like, hey, Jesus, come here. He's like, yeah, what's up, Martha? This is all my paraphrase, by the way. Luke chapter 10. You look it up, though, and it's there. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hey, Jesus, Mary is not helping me. And I'm sort of getting ticked. So you need to tell her to get in here and help me do stuff. And you know what Jesus' response is? Martha, don't worry about it. Mary made a pretty good choice by just choosing to hang out with me, so I'm not going to take that from her. Maybe you could come hang out too. Blew Martha's mind. She's like, but what about the food? What about the mess of the house? What about the, and whatever your to-do list is? You cannot learn what it means to be like Jesus if you don't take the time to spend with him. And there may be times when he is calling you to set aside the to-do list, to set aside the stuff, whatever it is. And notice that Jesus didn't say, Martha, food is bad. Being hospitable, you're missing the point. He didn't say any of that. It was hospitality in the Jewish culture is a big deal. And he doesn't say that that's a bad thing to her. He just says, perhaps you could set something to the side for a second and spend some time with me. FYI, I'm the Son of God. And I'm like hanging out in your house. Maybe we could just hang out. So I wonder if there's not something to be said about that. Maybe there are times when we need to set some things aside so that we might spend time with Jesus. There's no hope for us to learn what it means to be like him if we don't spend time with him. Learning to be like Christ is the recognition that each individual has some room for growth in his or her relationship with Christ. Did you know that Jesus actually tells us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? And if you go back and look at what does perfect really mean? Jesus is saying, telling us, he says, so be complete, be mature, be moving on towards something like, I would say, holiness. Be moving on towards becoming holy like your Heavenly Father is. We all have room for growth. None of us, I would wager, fall into the saint category. I would guess that pretty much all of us are still hanging out in the sinner category. And so learning to be like Christ is recognizing that we have some room to grow. I don't think that any of us have arrived yet in what it means to follow Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, it's also being reminded that you can teach someone something. Yes, even you. That you can contribute to someone else's faith journey. Even if this is your first time here this morning, welcome. It's great to have you. We don't usually have giant balloon trees. Even you can contribute to someone's faith journey. So whether you've been walking and traveling the journey of faith for some time, or whether you would say, man, I've never actually even made the first step, you have something to teach somebody. your story, your experiences, your struggles, your victories, they can all teach and help somebody else. And I think that highlights the importance of doing this together. What does it look like to learn to be like Christ together? We've got new life groups that are going to be starting this fall. Could be a really great opportunity to not only live life together, but to also try to figure out what it means and what it looks like to follow Jesus together. And I think the last thought of what it means here at Gateway to be learning to be like Christ is the intentional and continual process of making disciples to change the world. At the end of Matthew's gospel, we have there's a section there that we call the Great Commission. And it's important to know it's Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus begins this statement by saying, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." So right away, he's kind of going, if there's anybody that can tell you this next thing, it's me. And then he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." So part of what it means to be learning here at Gateway and learning what it means to look like Christ is to be intentional about you going and trying to help people connect with Jesus. Because here's the thing, it is not just my job. Oh, Matt, you went to seminary and you stand up and you wear flip-flops and you talk to us on Sunday morning and whatever, right? You're the pastor. No, it's not just on me. If you claim to follow Jesus, then it is on you too. We do it together, which I think is really exciting and fun, but it's something that we do together. It is not just, oh, the spiritual people, or oh, the saints who go and try to like help people see that in knowing and following Jesus, there is freedom, there is hope, and there is grace. That's not just on me, that's on you as well. So when Jesus says all the authority in everywhere is on me and I have it, so go and make disciples. So go and tell people about the ways in which your relationship, this is now you, the ways in which your relationship with Christ has changed your life, go and tell people that story. And then allow them to go, hey, that's pretty interesting because right now my life is a mess. And I could really go for some hope. I could really go for some peace. You know what? I'm feeling really burdened and weary, and I need to hear Jesus' voice saying, then come to me. And in me and through me, you will find rest. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's our mission here at Gateway Community Church. Our mission is to go and make disciples that change the world. Because we believe that there's a guy who has changed our lives and can actually change the world. And so it's intentional and it's a continual process of making disciples. Amongst ourselves, we all of us need to be developing our own relationship with God. And what does that look like and what does it mean as we try to be a disciple of Jesus? But it also is, how do we invite other people to start the journey as well? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the example that you've given us in your Son of what it means to pursue holiness. And we confess to you that there are plenty of times when we're really terrible at it. And we're thankful for your grace that you extend to us even in the many times that we fall down. And it's your grace that picks us back up, that cleans us off, and that we keep trying to put one foot in front of the other. Thanks that you're willing to find us in the midst of our mess and not leave us messy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize the efforts that we've tried to clean ourselves off, and we just can't do it. And Lord, I pray for our church that as we strive to learn what it means to be like you, that your Spirit would guide us and lead us, because without it, we're lost. And so help us in the midst of the community that we share together, that we might try to become more like you. And Lord, we pray that through our various ministries, whether it's with children or with students, or our new life groups that are starting, or our mission projects, our prayer team, our preschool, through whatever means and whatever things that we're doing, we pray that you would use them so that we might help each other to learn what it means to follow you. Lord, I pray for those especially who have never decided to start that journey. And this morning, perhaps your Spirit is speaking to their hearts. I pray that they might be open to what that might look like or what it might mean for them to follow you. And I pray that you'd help us as a church that regardless of where an individual might be in their relationship with you or on that journey of faith, that we would come alongside them, that we would surround them, that we would encourage them and support them, that we would pray for them, and that we would challenge them. And do all of those things for each other as well. And so we ask that you would use, and we expect that you will use us. To connect with each other, to connect with you, and to connect with our community, we pray.